Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Ferrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Ferrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, so Ferrell on the bench, 844-843-6879. I was just watching the Blazers game. They got these Spirit of Oregon jerseys on, these uniforms that I've never seen them wear before. And they're pretty kick-ass. I like them. And it's funny because they showed just a minute ago all the great things about Portland, Oregon, all the, you know, spots to go to and Cannon Beach and downtown Portland and the river and you name it. And I've been to Portland. I had a great time in Portland. I did my show there. I did a show at the Portland Brewing Company. It was unbelievable. Someone tried to kill me. I'm not even kidding.
Lots of beer in Portland.
I had death threats. Lots of beer. Death threats I got in Portland. Someone was going to blow my head off when I was doing a live show at the Brewing Company because I was so loud and the speakers were so loud and the music was so loud and I was so loud and painful that it's right in this neighborhood, right? Like, so it's right, nestled in the trees and woods in this neighborhood. And all the people that live in the neighborhood wanted to have me killed. So it was funny. I'll never forget that party. Because I did that show with Westwood One and CBS when I was Ferrell on the bench in L.A. And we went up there, Max and I, and we did the show. And I just remember how messed up we got. And we got so baked and we got so drunk. And I had this gigantic suite at this kick-ass hotel on the river. And, I mean, it was enormous. It was like a penthouse suite. It was unbelievable. And the one thing I remember about the party was June Jones showed up at the party. Remember the former NFL coach of the Falcons? Coached at Hawaii, coached in, I think that, whatever. What was the league that they
CFL
just,
coached
the XFL.
XFL, CFL, yeah. I think he's coaching every league football possible.
I think he coached even in that Alliance League. I could be wrong. But he showed up at the party, and he was in, like, wearing Tevas, you know, like those, they're a lot like Birkenstocks, whatever, the Tevas that are real popular. He was dancing and partying, and it was the biggest party. There was like 5,000 people at this party. It was crazy. This party was crazy. And I looked down, and there he was waving at me, and we ended up becoming pretty good friends at that point. I don't remember much of anything else of my time in Portland other than they whisked me off a stage because someone threatened to shoot me, and they stopped the show in the middle of the show. I mean, it was like not even a joke. Like someone was going to shoot me from the hills or something. Like someone was going to sniper rifle me. And they took me off the stage, put me in a limo, and they drove me around in like circles or something to see if anyone was following us. I remember that too. But I remember nothing else because I think when they drove around in circles, I got dizzy and passed out. But I woke up when I got back to the hotel and I had a bunch of hookers come to my room. Something like that. We welcome in our radio affiliate, Sirius XM, Channel 204, our satellite partners. We love you at Sirius. Mightier 1090, badass station in San Diego and all of Southern California. The best stick in the business. Booming out of Tijuana to Yawana. And then, of course, Sports Map Radio Network, Sports Byline USA, and Armed Forces Radio all over the world. Hoorah, soldier, hoorah. I'm Pharrell. It's Pharrell on the Bench with Mafia tonight. Mafia has been on a million road trips with me as well. Mostly, I think, to Vegas. Have you ever... You've been to L.A., Vegas, stuff like that. Have you ever gone anywhere else with me? Do you remember?
L.A., St. Louis, Vegas, Dallas, Anaheim. Yeah.
Dallas was good.
That was a good one. Yeah,
I told you the other... Well, I told you, like, didn't I tell you the other day that some guy
you did.
Made
some guy
me from
town.
Dallas? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I just, I can I just say that, like.
We went to Pittsburgh, too, for the Stanley Cup Finals.
Like, oh, we went to the Pittsburgh and Stanley Cup Finals.
Good dad
I wanted to say, though,
arena.
Really quick. Before I forget, I just wanted to say that I wanted to sleep with 90% of the girls in Dallas. Just 90% of them.
We also went to Dallas for the fight at Jerry's World. That was my last trip. What was last or two times ago now? Two St. Patrick's Days ago.
Was that when we were there 2 years ago?
Just about, yeah. In a month, it'll be 2 years.
The Errol Spence fight, right?
Yeah,
I like that hotel we stayed at.
I like that Jag we drove.
Dallas. Oh, I love that Jag. We drove fast. We drove like 100 miles an hour in that car. I was a bad seed driving that car around Dallas. We'd leave the Jerry's World at night after doing the show at like, I don't even know, midnight, 1 in the morning, or 1. I think it was 1 in the morning. It was 2 a.m. East, 1 a.m. in Dallas. And we would drive 100 miles an hour back to the hotel. And Mavi was like, you're going to get nailed. You're going to get a ticket. Throw the weed out of the window. Just get rid of the weed. You're gonna get pulled over. You're going to jail. Here, drink this ice brew and see if you get sick.
There are 24 hours in every day.
1,440 minutes.
86,400 seconds. And we still have trouble squeezing all this glorious
sports talk in.
Have you thought about maybe sleeping less?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
So I was just looking at the Pac-12 standings. I was watching the halftime show of the Boise 12-point lead over UNLV in Boise at the half. But they were showing the Pac-12 standings. And bottom line was I saw USC and UCLA, both 9-2 in conference. And the funny thing about it, Mafia, is that, you know, earlier this week on Coast to Coast, we talked about, on the TV side on Sports Grid, we talked about how, you know, Kentucky, Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, and UCLA were all unranked for the first time since 1961. Do you remember that?
Yeah, of course.
So my point is that, you know, UCLA lost a game and fell out of the top 25, so they bounced them out of the rankings, right? But in my opinion, without a doubt, I don't even hesitate at this point. Like, how can you be tied for the Pac-12 lead and you're not an NCAA tournament team? I mean, that's just absolute horse crap. They're going to be in that tournament. I don't care what anybody says. I think Cronin's doing a good job there. I mean, I'm not there every single day watching UCLA basketball at Pauley Pavilion, I grant you. Fair enough. But, I mean, all I need to know is what I just saw. You know what I mean? Like, how can you be tied for the conference lead in the Pac-12 and they're going to leave you out of the NCAA tournament? That's just not happening. That's not happening because they talk about all these, you know, heavies get in always, and then they screw all these small schools, and that's the way it falls out. That's the way it rolls out. That's the way the cookie crumbles. I mean, these small conferences, and no offense to anybody that plays in them or that goes there, I'm not trying to be a D about your conference. It is what it is. You win the conference tournament, you go to the NCAAs. You finish second, you're not going. That's just the way that the world works. And everybody knows it. And they're not leaving out schools like UCLA and USC that are battling for the conference title in the Pac-12. Now, I know, fair enough, that apparently no one respects the Pac-12, like the same game we've been hearing for years. We've been hearing for years, when I lived out in L.A., and I'm not trying to bore anybody, but it was always East Coast bias, right? That's all you ever heard. Whenever I was out in Lipstick City, all I ever heard was East Coast bias. They ignore the Pac-12. Well, I don't. I don't ignore it. I love it. I like the Pac-12, the Mountain West. I like all of it. Hell, I even like the WCC with Gonzaga and St. Mary's and all these schools. I like watching the game the other night with BYU and Gonzaga. I like watching Boise play UNLV. I love it. So as far as I'm concerned, Mafia, would you argue that at all? That, you know, unless I'm mistaken, like right now USC's up 10 on Washington with 18 minutes left. They're ranked 20th in the land. Now, I don't have anything in front of me. I'm not sitting here looking at rankings. I'm not looking at standings. All I saw was they put up the Pac-12 standings. USC and UCLA are at the top of it. They're tied in the conference. How in God's name, you were part of the conversation the other day, Mafia, when they said UCLA's, they haven't been unranked since 1961, all those teams. And then, you know, UCLA fell out of the top 25, so they must suck. They don't suck. I think they just got bumped out, pushed out, and I think those AP and coaches polls are absolute BS to begin with, and I don't care about week-to-week college basketball rankings. All I care about is who's going to win the conferences and who's going to go from the conferences, and you know as well as I do that when you're talking about the Big 12, the Big 10, the ACC, the SEC, the Big East, and the Pac-12, and fair enough, I got to put the Mountain West in there. I'm not leaving San Diego State and those teams out of there, Boise. I'm not leaving them out. But I'm not leaving USC and UCLA out of the NCAA tournament either, Moff.
No, I'm not either. I don't think they will be. I think that's, you know, the talk of, well, they're unranked. Okay, great. Moff, who cares?
You're having a problem this evening, apparently, getting in step with the program.
I agree with you 100%, Scott. I think that, you know, it's all this talk about, oh, they're unranked. Okay, great. What does that matter? It's not the top 25 going to the NCAA tournament. It's the top 68. So they'll definitely be in the tournament. They're going to get a couple teams in that Pac-12. You'll probably get four or five they're looking at right now. You know, the thing is all about where they rank and where they kind of seed them in and how their matchups go. But they'll be in the tournament. And, you know, this year, more than any other, it really doesn't matter as much if you're in that top 25 or in the upper echelon of the tournament because, yeah, it might help you in your matchups to a little, you know, slight degree, but there is no going to either the West region, the East region, all that, you know, sliding into different regions. There is no, you know, home court advantage for most of these teams. It's really just about anybody's game, especially if all these blue bloods are going to be out. Then it doesn't matter, you know, if you're 5th or if you're 35th. As long as you're in the tournament, everybody's got a chance tonight and this season.
So, you know, I know that a few days ago, USC routed UCLA. And then that tied them atop the Pac-12. They beat them 66-48. So, you know, it's unbelievable to me. It really is unbelievable how no one, you know what I mean? Like, they don't talk about these teams and this conference. All they talk about, now, you know the deal. Lately, they've been talking about, literally, they talk more about Kentucky, Duke, frankly, North Carolina, Kansas, And, you know, they mentioned UCLA in that pack because the story went back to 61, 1961. That's the last time they weren't ranked, but all of them. But the reality is that they talk more about Duke and North Carolina and Kansas, Kentucky sucking than they do anything else. They don't they talk more about Duke losing and having a bad season than they talk about who's doing well in the ACC. They'd rather talk about what's wrong with Duke than talking about the teams that are doing well, the teams that are atop the conference. Duke gets more attention when they lose than teams that win, and that's just embarrassing. And here's the deal. You know, I've said all along, all season, for the last few weeks, whatever, the last month, and I've watched them lose game after game after game. They lose to Notre Dame the other day. And, you know, if I had a mission from God, it would be to keep them out of the NCAA tournament. You cannot tell me under any circumstances whatsoever that they deserve to be in the tournament. None. They don't deserve to be in. They suck.
Definitely not.
And they are, I mean, they are always good, Mafia. They're always great. They're always in the, you know, Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four, championship game, winning titles. Krzyzewski's won five. I'm, you know, I respect what they've done. It's a great school for basketball. There's no getting around it. My dad went to Duke. You know that. But the reality is this year they suck, and that's all there is to it. They do not deserve to be in the NCAA tournament, nor do they deserve all the attention they get for sucking. All they do is lose, and people talk about Duke every day. I'm talking about them right now.
Bro, they talk more about the blue bloods that are struggling and not playing well, like you said, than the teams that are having a great season, these small teams that we don't usually get to talk about because all we talk about is Duke and Kentucky and UNC. Finally, you can talk about these other teams because they're having great seasons and the big boys don't matter, and still we're talking about the big teams that are sucking.
Of all those teams that suck right now that I just mentioned, the one that doesn't suck is UCLA. Kentucky loses every game they play. I mean, UCLA's tough. I think Mick Cronin is doing a job out there, and I like USC too. I think they both deserve to go. It's Pharrell on a bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench. So USC and UCLA both 9-2 in the conference. USC's 15-3 overall. UCLA 13-4. USC just beat them. They've won four in a row. UCLA 13-4, and then Colorado's won three in a row. They won tonight, and then I think they won at Stanford. Oregon has won a couple games in a row. They're 11-4. Stanford's lost tonight. 12-8 overall, 8-6 in the conference. Arizona's 8-6 in the conference, and 14-6 overall. You know, based on the COVID and the schedule and the games that you're able to play and who's played enough games, like Utah's only, 9-7 overall, but they got hot. They've won three in a row. They're 9-7 overall, 6-6 in the conference. You notice they haven't played. You know, now all of a sudden they're playing really good ball. So there's a lot of teams in that conference, in my opinion. USC, UCLA, Colorado, Oregon are automatic. You start getting sketchy on Stanford, even though they have the same conference record as Arizona. Arizona's 14-6. Now you're going to start breaking down who they've beaten and the quad level games they've won and everything else. So, that's what it's going to boil down to, right? But there's too many good teams in that conference, in my opinion, to get neglected from going to the NCAA tournament. As far as the Mountain West, Utah State, 14-5, 11-2 in the conference. They're going. Colorado State's 11-3 in the conference, 14-4. They're going. Boise State will win tonight. They'll be 11-3. They're up right now on UNLV. They'll be 15-4. They're going. And San Diego State's 9-3, 15-4 overall. I put them in. And Nevada's 9-5 and 14-7. And that's the cutoff line for me. Now, I could see, frankly, Nevada getting left out unless they win the conference tournament. I could see it. But, I mean, and I could see San Diego State not making it. That they, you know, are they going to let in four teams, five in the Mountain West? I don't know. I think that, you know, that could be a problem. And then, in like, you already know what happens in the WCC. Gonzaga's going, but there's no way you can leave BYU out of it when they're 15-5. You know what I mean? Like, I think BYU gets in. So I've just been looking at all these conferences tonight and, you know, kind of trying to get a feel for, you know, who's doing well and who has a shot to get in. You know, Conference USA, Western Kentucky 6-2, 13-4 overall. Old Dominion's 10-5 overall. Do they get in? You know what I mean? How many teams are they going to let in from there? One? And then you've heard the stories already about the Big Ten. Michigan, Illinois, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa, Purdue, Rutgers, Indiana, Minnesota. I mean, honestly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 teams. You know, Indiana beat Iowa twice. They beat them in Iowa City when they were number 4. They beat them the other night in Bloomington last night. And they beat Northwestern over the weekend. They beat Iowa again when they were number 8. Then they beat Northwestern in double overtime last night. And they went to Evanston and did it. Now, I know Northwestern's lost 10 in a row. You know, that being said, Indiana still should have lost the game. They were down 7 with 2 minutes to go. They went in double overtime. They hit all those free throws, 14 out of 15 in the two overtimes. They win the game. Indiana's going to the NCAA tournament. There's already Lenardi has them as an 11 seed. I don't. We'll get Jerry Palm on one of these days. He'll tell you that Indiana's going. You don't beat a top 10 team twice in their building and in your building and not get into the NCAA tournament. And they were a top 5 team when they beat them in Carver Hawkeye in Iowa City. But I don't think Indiana's going anywhere. I think they'll be a one and done. I think they'll get into the tournament and lose. I think they're really average, but it was a huge win nevertheless. And they have about the same record as, I mean, one more. They're one loss down of Rutgers. I think Rutgers is tough. You play at the Rack in Piscataway, you're going to lose. That's what's going to happen to you. Purdue is tough, but they lost in Minneapolis tonight at the Barn to the Gophers. I hit that bet. Iowa's going. Wisconsin's going. I think they're overrated. Ohio State is not overrated. I think they're really good. They're rated 4th in the land. Illinois is going. They're rated 6th. Michigan's rated 3rd in the country. Bottom line is, Rutgers is 25th, Purdue 24th, Iowa 15th, Wisconsin 21st. Indiana's not ranked, but they're going. And some people are insulted when they hear that many teams from the Big Ten that are going to go to the tournament. But they are. Villanova from the Big East. Creighton. Xavier. Seton Hall. St. John's. And right on the cusp is Connecticut. From the Big East. Those are all teams that I think get into the NCAA tournament. That's all there is to it. Big 12, Baylor, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Kansas is getting in. I don't care what anybody says. Texas is going. Texas Tech is going. Oklahoma State's going. TCU's at 11-7. I think the cutoff's right there. You're looking at 7 teams automatic in the Big 12. That's all there is to it. And then when you look at the ACC, Virginia's going. Florida State's going. Va Tech's going. Louisville's going. And I still believe North Carolina's going. They're 12-6. Clemson's 12-5. North Carolina's got a winning record in the ACC. They're 7-4. Everybody talks about how bad they suck. You want to talk about suck. Duke's 5-6, 7-8 overall. They're not going. Syracuse is 500. Georgia Tech's 500. Pitt's 500 in conference. Clemson's a game over 500 in conference. So I don't want to hear about I really don't. I don't want to hear about Duke. Just don't even bring it up to me. 8-10, St. Bonnie. 8-2 in conference, 10-2 overall, VCU. Now you're starting to get where they just don't respect the conference. They're not going to let that many of those teams in. Davidson at 10-5, 6-2 in the conference. I doubt they get in. The smaller your conference, the less of a chance you have to get in. That's all there is to it. You have to win your conference tournament or you're dead meat. And that's that. I mean, that's all there is to it. So I want to look at
a lot of those smaller conferences too, Scott, this year is that how many of them, you know, they have those games. If you're in like the A-10, the, you know, Colonial, some of these smaller ones, like if you don't win your conference, the only other chance you have is to go make some noise in your non-conference schedule. Go play some big boys, steal a win or two here so they say, hey, listen, this, they could actually compete. But most of those schools got their schedules completely screwed up because of the late start. You know, things got shuffled, tournaments get canceled, or, you know, you have a game lined up and all of a sudden it's canceled because of COVID. So a lot of those schools are just going to get left out this year because they just couldn't do anything in the non-conference.
There's no doubt about it. So going back to the NBA tonight, the Pacers beat the Pistons 111-95. I hit that bet. They went on the road after losing to the Nets last night by 10. They went to Detroit, and they handled their business over the Pistons easily. Sabonis had 26. Miles Turner had 14. Brogdon had 18, 9-4. So they look strong tonight. I wanted to see what Jeremy Grant, he had a huge night against the other night. He had like 32 the other night when they beat the Nets. And then tonight he has 9. So he goes from lighting it up to doing nothing. 4 of 17 from the floor. So the Pistons were so bad tonight from 3. 5 of 28, 17%. You wonder why they lost. I already told you the Celtics beat the Raptors 120-106. The Heat won in Houston to start their 7-game trip. 101-94. Jimmy Butler with a triple-double. Right now at the half in Rip City, the Sixers lead the Blazers 63-60. Remember, the Blazers were getting 5.5 in that game. Magic leading the Warriors. Seldom come out to play. 72-71 with 4 left in the third, roughly. That Sixer game is at halftime. And that's it for the NBA. In terms of tonight's games, there was only 5 games. As far as Friday, there's tons of games. The Knicks are at the Wizards, and Bradley Beal's not playing in that game, from what I heard today. He's not playing tomorrow. So that might be a run-to-the-window situation, because I think the Knicks can play with the Wizards with Beal, let alone without him. I really like this Knicks team with Randall and with IQ. Quickley's been great. Derrick Rose now is bringing a whole new speed dimension to their lineup. I know the Knicks have sucked for 20 years, but Tibbs is doing a great job of them defensively. They're one of the best teams in the league. Stat-wise, defensively, they've been stopping people. And, I like what they're doing. They got all kinds of guys producing and playing tough. The Grizzlies and Lakers tomorrow night at Staples. You wonder if the Grizzlies are going to give them a game like the Thunder gave them 2 games in a row overtime. Timberwolves and Hornets in Charlotte. I love what LaMelo's doing. Spurs and Hawks in Atlanta going to be a great game. We'll see if Trey has a big game after lighting up the ref. He got fined $20,000 tonight for that outburst on the ref. Pelicans and Mavs in Dallas. Clippers, Bulls in Chicago. Pistons, Celtics in Boston. Thunder at the Nuggets tomorrow night, plus Bucks at Jazz, game of the night. Cavs, Blazers here in Rip City. And Magic Kings in Sactown. Great schedule Friday night.
As long as you can remember.
There's only ever been one thing in your life that's been there for you. It's meant memories, family, friends.
And yeah, we'll say it.
Fun. Welcome to your home for talking sports. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
right. Pharrell on the bench with you. So right now, USC up 58-44 on Washington. They're handling their business. 7.5 left. Boise's ripping UNLV. I'm watching the game 64-48, 9:20 left. UCLA, after I talk good about them, they're losing at Pullman to Washington State 25-18 after I just put them in the NCAA tournament as they're melting like an ice cream cone tonight on the road. 7 minutes left in the first. So a lot of ball left there. Oregon. Yeah. Oregon up 75-64. They beat Arizona State. Minnesota 71-68 over Purdue. I'm just giving you some of these. Utah beat Cal at Berkeley 76-75. They didn't cover the six. Georgia State 79-75 over Georgia Southern. Hit that both ways. Kansas, I hit both ways. 97-64. They blew out a terrible Iowa State team who's winless in Big 12 play. Colorado won at Palo Alto. I was surprised they blew them out. 69-51. I thought Stanford would have given them a game. They were getting 7, and they got whacked. Texas State beat Texas Arlington 63-56 on the road. South Bama at home by 3 over Troy. Montana blew out Weber 80-67. Eastern Washington racked up Montana State 93-77. I thought Montana State would play better there. Arizona won, but they didn't cover. They beat Oregon State 70-61. Monroe upset Louisiana. The Cajuns lost 72-66 on their home floor. Fresno beat Air Force by 6. They were laying 6. Belmont blew out Eastern Kentucky. Both good teams. 92-74 there. And that's about the gist of it. We'll keep our eyes on we don't have much time left, but we'll keep our eyes on UCLA as the night goes on, see if they can get through it. Now, the big story today is this story about Urban Meyer defending the hiring of Chris Doyle this evening. That story broke at around, 5:30, 6 o'clock. They started talking about Doyle getting the job with the Jags on their coaching staff. Former strength coach at Iowa who was accused of racist remarks and bullying players. He's been hired as the team's director of sports performance. And they announced their 28-member staff. Daryl Bevel, defensive coordinator Joe Cullen Bevel, the OC. And then Charlie Strong became the assistant head coach and inside linebackers coach. But it was Doyle that got everybody's attention. He was the strength and conditioning coach from 99 until this past June at Iowa, when former players and current players all at Iowa spoke out about mistreatment within the program. A number of black players said that Doyle used racist language and treated them differently based on their race. Meyer said he vetted Doyle, had intense conversations with him. He's confident there'll be no problems. He said, I've had everyone on the staff. The relationship with Doyle goes back 20 years, and I asked him a lot of hard questions, a lot of vetting involved. We did a very good job vetting that one. In other words, Doyle. I met with our staff. I'm going to be very transparent with all the players like I am with everything. I listen closely and learn, and also there's going to have to be some trust in their head coach, and they're going to have to give them the very best of the best, and time will tell. The allegations that took place, I will say to the players, I vetted him. I've known him for 20 years. I can assure them that none of that's happening in our facility. He says he knows Doyle from when he coached with him. He was on his staff at Utah for 1 year. Then he went to the Iowa job. Some of the issues raised by many players, not one or two, but many, numerous Iowa players spoke out on social media. Black and white players treated differently, different standards. Black players were mistreated. Doyle and other assistants allegedly made racist remarks. Black players felt they had to conform to specific ways of dress and behavior. Their complaints sparked the university to hire a law firm to conduct an investigation. The issues were not strictly related to race. A former lineman said last June on Twitter that he retired from football in January of 2019 after he became despondent because of what he described as bullying by Doyle. Doyle was among the coaches he named who harassed him. The university placed Doyle on leave June 6th in the wake of those allegations. A day later, Doyle defended himself in a statement saying, "At no time did I ever cross the line of unethical behavior or bias on race. I do not make racist comments, and I do not tolerate people who do." So on June 14th, Iowa fired him.
No, no
Boyle
good.
Boyle was the nation's, wait, he was the nation's highest paid strength coach, making $800,000, and he received 15 months salary, $1.1 million, and he and his family were awarded benefits from Iowa for 15 months until he found employment elsewhere, which he did now with the Jaguars. A cornerback on the Jags said he played for the Hawkeyes for 3 years and responded to a June 5th tweet from former Iowa offensive lineman James Daniels, who said there's too many racial disparities within the program. And just, you know, it goes on and on and on and on about how miserable a person he is. And then he says he did none of it. Well, then why'd they fire him? And why'd they investigate him? Why'd they have an outside firm investigate him? Why did they come up with the decision to fire him? If he didn't do it,
I'm just trying to have a little friendly conversation.
That was Doyle right there, allegedly, talking, defending himself that he never did anything wrong ever. And then, of course, the school fired him.
That taunting action right there, totally unnecessary.
He was taunting, allegedly, Iowa players. He was a bully, allegedly. He was.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
Racist remarks, allegedly, that he denies vehemently, and he was fired for all of it because he didn't do anything wrong. They fired him.
So what? You hurt my feelings, and now I'm going home, all right?
So when they fired him, he took his ball and went home, and now after getting benefits for a year or more, 15 months for his family, he had to find a job, and he found one with the always exciting, corrupt Urban Meyer.
Now, here's to the Sunshine State.
Right, yeah.
Here's to all that gorgeous match in FLA. Yeah.
So that was Coach Meyer at his first meeting with the new team, the Jaguars. And, of course, he was at Gainesville. He won a title there, a couple of them. And, of course, he harbored a murderer. He had a murderer on his team. That was awesome. And then, of course, at Ohio State, Mafia, what did he have there? He had a, didn't he have a wide receiver violence
coach, Zach Smith. Yeah. Zach Smith, who apparently had lots of domestic violence run-ins with his ex-wife now, and served at least 180 days in jail. I saw that he was sentenced to for not following court guidelines and all this, you know, stuff. So he had all those other arrests in Florida, too. You know, we always bring up Hernandez, but there was like 20-something arrests that got swept under the rug when he was in Gainesville. It wasn't just one guy that was getting away with stuff.
So he's had wife beaters, murderers, football players getting in all kinds of trouble with the popo. And, of course, he says he always vets his staff. So he picks only the finest people, like Doyle, who's never done anything wrong in his life. That's why he got fired at Iowa, because 40 players said he was a racist. Because 40 players said he was a bully. Because 40 players or more said he was a, you know what, a piece of shack. An A with a giant gap. You can figure it out. You A gap. All I know is Mafia will figure that out with my foul mouth. All I know is he sounds like a wonderful Christian man and a wonderful father, a wonderful husband. He's never done anything wrong ever. You know, all those kids said I was a racist and a bully. They're all lying. I have found God. I am a wonderful Christian, and I'm a leader in the community. And now I'm working for a guy that has harbored murderers and wife beaters. It's true. I mean, this is the gift that keeps on giving, Moff. We got a guy now, the racist, the bully, he's landed in the NFL. And what's more, of course, he's white. You got to get that white racist wife beater, bully. We get all those guys on the staff. He'll hire the guy from Ohio State. He'll bring, he can't bring Hernandez back from the dead, can he? Does he have those powers? Because all he does is win. Maybe he's got extra powers. Maybe, maybe Urban Meyer is able to actually bring people back from the dead. I mean,
Yellow too.
I mean, all he does
Yellow
is
win. Statement where he's like, well, you know what? I've known the guy for 20 years and I've talked to him and none of that's going to happen here. Not like I've known the guy for 20 years and I don't believe what they said about him. And he said he never did any of that stuff. And I don't believe that ever happened. It's not going to happen here.
Yeah, because it already is happening. He hired a guy that everyone says is a racist and a bully. And all I know is he says, I've known him for 20 years. Yeah, he knew him for 1 year. He worked for him for 1 year, and then he went to Iowa. So he's known him for 20
years ago. Haven't talked to him for the last 19, and now he came begging for a job.
That's exactly what happened, Mafia. Nice job by you. He has not talked to him once in 20 years, but now he's giving him a job because the guy's desperate. But I love the guy saying he never did anything wrong. That is awesome. Ask the people at Iowa what they think of Doyle. Ask them at in the football program what they think of Doyle. Ask all the black players that played under Coach Doyle, the strength coach. Ask them what they think of him. I bet they'd like to beat the snot out of his ass. They'd love to beat his ass. I'll bet you money. Like, I guarantee you. Do you know how many of those brothers probably sat around in their dorms and off-campus apartments after practice and after trips and games saying, I want to beat his ass? This strength coach.
Just made the list, buddy.
You're dead, man.
So just keep your meat hooks off. If I catch any of you guys in my stuff, I'll kill you.
I will beat your ass, you bully. We're going to get all these dudes together like a band of brothers, and we're going to beat your ass.
You know,
yeah.
If my dog was as ugly as you, I'd shave his butt and tell him to walk backwards.
That is unbelievable. That was the team captain talking about what he was going to do to fat Coach Doyle. Shave his ass and make him walk backwards. That is awesome, Mafia. You know we have to check in on this relationship, this budding new relationship between these two old pals, Doyle and Urban Meyer, down in Jacksonville, calling up his old pal from 20 years ago that went off to Iowa and became a bully. He's been accused of everything. All alleged. He's a leader of men. And he's ripped. I heard he can lift like a house. Guy does 16,000 reps a week. Arms and back on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Shoulders on Wednesdays and Fridays. UCLA still down 8. I'm worried about them tonight after I gave them all that love, Mafia. Here's the deal. The Warriors, who seldom come out to play, they're up 4 on the Magic right now. See if I can get a quick look on the top scorers. Your boy Vucevic. I can't keep up with all these Serbian names. I really can't. God bless him. I've been to Belgrade. He's got a 20 spot tonight. And then Curry's got 35 and 9 threes tonight for Curry. Wiggins has 21. So there you go. The Warriors are up 4 with 6.5 to go. And the Sixers lead is 3, 85-82 on the Blazers in Rip City. And strangely enough, obviously, 29 for JoJo Embiid. Simmons, 19, 9 and 8, working on the triple-double. Plenty of time left. He'll probably get it. He's one board and two dimes short of it. And Tobias Harris has 13. So there you go. On the other side, Dame Time, 26. Gary Trent's got 16. Nobody else is doing jack. So there you go. And then I already told you all the other winners and everything else. Funny thing about the Blazers, Mafia, I just wanted to say before I get out of here, right? They obviously have massive injuries. You look at their team, right? You got no Collins, no Nurkic, no McCollum. I mean, they're three big stars of that team. And, you know, obviously your big man in Nurkic, you're screwed. McCollum, a pure scorer, you lose all those points. He's walking around in a walking boot. I mean, I can't believe that they're still competing and winning games and are in every game they play with just this patchwork lineup they got. I mean, it's unbelievable. They're still down three here, but a long way to go the whole fourth. They're still in the third with a minute 50 left. All right, Sports Rage is next. I'll see you tomorrow at 4 o'clock Eastern for Coast to Coast on all these stations in Sirius 204. Great job, Moff.